In today's Gospel, Christ presents us with these from his disciples. Lord, be with you.
And your spirit.
I read from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus says, disciples, to you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them and lend, expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be given. And you will be given to you. A good measure, passed, shaken, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure will return, be made out to you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When we listen to the teaching of Jesus, I wonder, in all honesty, whether you've ever been tempted to say to him, Lord, with all due respect, what you're saying is crazy. Lord, listen to yourself. What you're saying doesn't make any sense. If we're ever tempted to say that to Jesus, today would be one of those times. Listen to what he says to us. Love your enemy. Do good to those who harm you. If somebody hits you on one cheek, turn on the other cheek to them. If somebody takes something from you, don't ask them to give it back to you. I mean, that's just foolishness. That's not the real world. That's not the way the real world works. But maybe that's the point. Maybe that's exactly the point Jesus is trying to make. That the real world, the world we live in, is not God's world. And he's come to change the real world, so to speak, into God's world. And those of us who are his disciples have to do the same thing. And the only way to change the real world, so to speak, is to challenge head-on all those things that are contrary to God's world. And just think about the real world. How much is our world marked by anger and revenge? How much is our world marked by selfishness, self-seeking? How much is our world marked by the drive for power? Get power and retain power, political or economic power, at any cost. How much is our world marked by fear of other? One we look at and see is different from us, afraid of them. How much is prejudice and all kinds of isms? That's the real world. Jesus saying is that that's in God's world. God's world and he doesn't change that. The only way we change is by facing it down. All things that we can't collaborate, we can't close eyes to them. We have to fit head on. It's challenging, difficult. Precious is the example, doesn't he? Today he says to us, be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. What's that mean? You live the way God lives. I, Jesus, show you how God is. You live that way. And confront the real world. On the cross, what does Christ do? Think about that. There he is hanging there, dying. What's one of the final words he speaks? Father, forgive them. The ones who crucified him, the ones who ruled him, the ones who are spitting, calling him to come down the cross, prove who he is, if he's the Messiah. Forgive them. See, that challenges the way of the real world. Let me give you an example of something like that. Some of you, I'm sure, are familiar with the woman, the Dutch woman, whose name was Corrie ten Boom. She wrote a number of books. Very devout Christian woman from a Christian family in Holland. And during the Second World War, when the Nazis invaded Holland, the ten Booms turned their refuge for Jewish people, for resistance, in the secret room. And they would hide people there. I don't think they'd be called up. In fact, one of the books that Corrie ten Boom wrote about herself. Ultimately, she and her family were betrayed, and a Dutch informer became the Nazis, arrested and sent to prison. He wrote to Amsbrook, which was a woman's concentration camp in northern Germany. While there, her sister Betsy died from natural causes, but really exacerbated by the sick camp. And unexpectedly, Corrie was released from the camp, made her way back home. Found out later that the reason she was released was due to a clerical error. Unexplainable, anyway, the clerical error had her released. If she had stayed there, she would have gone to the guest chamber. After the war, she began, based on her own witness, began speaking about the need for forgiveness and reconciliation and understanding. She went out of Europe. She found herself in Germany. And she's giving her talk and so forth. And in the talk, people come forward. So she's looking down a lot of people. Sees a man. She recognizes. He's one of the guards from Ransomburg. The guards, cruel guards. In fact, she was her sister. Awfully, terribly. She said she saw him. She recognized him. And she froze. That's back of all those horrible days. He gets closer. I stand right in front of her. And he says, I've read written. And I'm here tonight to beg your forgiveness. I'm here to beg your forgiveness. And he said, she just became, but I saw her, she froze up. She could hardly move. She knew that the Lord would want her to forgive him, but she said, finally, I said a little prayer to myself, and I don't understand how I did it or why I did it, but I reached out and I grabbed him and I embraced him and I said, I forgive you. And then the man fell on the floor, weeping, crying. She found out when he became a lay evangelist. I don't suggest to many people to Christ. Imagine that. She followed the way of the world, making the world act. She would have said, you're all horrible, evil men, you've done terrible things. I will not forgive you. I won't forgive you. I can't forgive you. Then what would have happened? She did. See, and that's the point of all these difficult things that the Lord says to us today. We can't deal with one another according to the ways of the world. We have to be of God's world. Difficult as that be. Because if we just continue with the world doesn't change, ever. For example, at the Middle East, for how many generations have Palestinians and the Israelis fought, killed each other? How does that stop? What stops if one or both of them says, I will not treat you as an enemy. I won't treat you. That may require awful sacrifices, but I will. That's what Jesus is getting at today. We can't live as the real world lives and be his disciples. So as you and I gather today, we pray for that grace to take these difficult sayings and recognize what they mean. You and I are called to be citizens, not of the real world, but of God's world. And the citizens of God's world to make the real world God's world. May God bless you.